part of this conference fellowship. It's always an honor to preach God's word, be before God's people. I've never got over the fact the Lord has called me to preach, but he has, and has God's grace to be with me today to try to bring a message the Lord has laid upon my heart. We are going to be having a special meeting on September the 5th. That's a Wednesday through that Friday. Brother John Lybrooks will be preaching for us on a Wednesday and Wednesday and Thursday. Then Brother Brent Spears will be preaching for us Friday at the fellowship meeting. And that will start at 7:30. It's our area-wide fellowship up there. Encourage you to come up and be a part of that if you can. Thank God for Brother Ross, your pastor here. And Brother Ross is a very unique man. He's probably one of the most sought-after preachers that I know of to preach messages and conferences and revivals. And thank God for his ministry and also the books that he's written. And your Brother Ross's legacy is going to live on for a long, long time, way beyond his years, if the Lord does not return. And we thank God for such as men as that. Thank God for this church. Thank God for all the pastors, all those represented here today. I'd ask you to pray for my family. I've got three grandchildren. I love them with all my heart, just like that you love yours. My oldest grandson is saved and serving the Lord. We thank the Lord for that. Got another grandson getting real close to 10 years old. And he can't talk very well. I always say that he can't talk very well because he smiles so much. He's the smilest, happiest little fellow you ever saw. And thank God for him. But he's getting very close, I believe, to the age that he understands. And he's such a good little boy. And he really is a good boy. Takes after his mama, my wife, of course. But he's a very good little boy. But I know one day soon he'll realize that even that his goodness is nothing compared to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have prayed for his salvation. My little granddaughter Emma, 6, and ask you to pray for her as well. And I got some nephews. We long to see people saved at Faith Baptist Church. We're desirous to see some of our folks being saved, our children. We got some couples coming out, young couples. We got lost people coming about every service. We haven't had nobody saved for a good while. We are longing to see souls being saved, not only in our homes, our family, our community, but also we pray for our sister churches as well. Certainly good to see Brother Stoniker here with them, the missions conference with them. Enjoyed our time together going down there and back with my wife and my grandson. Enjoyed Brother Stoniker and enjoyed the church family, Brother Thompson. It's great having such men be with us here today. It's always humbling to preach in front of such men. And then Brother Chris, he's going to be preaching here in a moment, going to be straightening up everything that I've messed up. But Brother Chris has done just a great mind, got a great wealth of information, and he also writes books of Brother Ross, and his legacy lives on and will continue to live on. We thank God for Brother Chris. Thank God for Brother Coffey preaching. Never heard Brother Coffey. And I thought that me and him was going to get along well. Then he started talking about rabbit hunting. And I thought, man, he's going to start meddling right here, right off the bat. And but everything turned out on a good note. I love the hunt, brother. I always have. And my grandfather really was more of a father to me than my father. And had a great relationship with him. I can really identify with those good times that you had with your grandfather. So we thank God to be able to be here today. You know, we have good men. We need to be good men. We need to be faithful men and women, children of the Lord. We all need to remain steadfast, sure, and true to the Lord. You heard saying already today, little eyes are watching us. Oftentimes when the devil tempts and tries, and we all have those times, those moments. I stop for a moment and I think about Carson, Emma, and Mason. And that certainly kind of helps get me back on the right track right real quick. The little eyes are watching you. Thank God for that. My little granddaughter, her little beagle puppy she's got, was a puppy, but she's a small little miniature beagle. Her name was Tiny. And think about little eyes always watching us. We was going out feeding them, and she comes up to the house. She just lives right down the lane from us. When she comes up to the house, she'll bring, a lot of times she'll bring her boots. And she'll say, Papa might want need me to go out there and help him feed today. So she'll bring her little boots with her. And she come out there and we was feeding the beagles. They got little beagles called Tiny. She's a miniature beagle. She thinks she's big as a St. Bernard and mean as a pit bull. I mean, she's the meanest little beagle ever was. Fights, and just she won't back down from no other beagles, no other dogs. Mountain curs won't back down from them. And, I mean, she wants a fight. She don't just snap. She grabs a hold. And we was feeding her back there and going from pen to fen and feeding them there in our kennel. And she was barking through the fence and trying to get a hold of a dog through the fence. And all I did, I took the little dipper I was using to feed them, a little plastic dipper. I reached in and she started growling and fighting and grabbing hold of that bar. And I took that dipper and smacked her on top of the head like that. And she yelped and jumped back. And my little granddaughter, it just tore her all to pieces. But she had such love for her papa. Here's what she said. She said, "Oh, papa, you didn't know that was tiny, did you?" And I kind of mumbled something. I didn't want to give her a real good answer. She didn't want to believe that her papa would smack Tiny like that, her dog Tiny. But the little kids are always watching us. We can say what we want to say, but they're always watching us. And our Lord is as well. It's 15 till 11. I'm going to wrap things up about 15 after 11. It's going to be about 30 minutes here. I've already talked for a couple. It's just a little bit past 15 till. But I'm going to preach about 30 minutes and try to wrap that up and give other folks an opportunity to preach and also to share the word. Brother Johnson's at our church here last week. Our folks enjoyed him, certainly moved and touched by his message, his desire, his passion, and kind of reminds us and kind of maybe put me to shame, I'll say that, and reminds us of the need to get out and share the gospel. Like you turn your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 22 through verse 36. Certainly we understand that there is the time and day that we live in. I believe we're living in a great falling away. You know, we understand the world, the ways of the world. The description of the Bible, it says, you know, why the heathen rage? The heathen rage. Well, why do the heathen rage? The heathen rage because they're heathen. But we that are children of the Lord need to be different. We're called upon to be different. But I think that we live in a day and a time where we see those that are Christians, and it hurts to see those that have been faithful in times gone by to the fall by the wayside. Man, we need the Brother Stonikers. We need the Brother Christians. We need the Brother Tom Ross. We need the other pastors that are here. And we need to be able to have those we can look at that remain true year after year after year after year. And we need to be that for our children, our homes, our families, for the cause of Christ. But we see a great fall away. We see a disconnect among churches and church members. We see the younger people. A lot of times it's good to see children. It's good to see young people in God's house. We see a disconnect among young children and within our homes and our families, and children are grown up and raised up in the house of the Lord. Like they're being disconnected from the things of the Lord. We see a lack of faithfulness because of the pressure and maybe just the way life is and people trying to build those bigger barns and just continue to build bigger barns and have more, as we've already heard preached about. We see people that get so much pressure upon them and there's just so much responsibility. And they run from anything in the house of the Lord. We see people that don't want to take a Sunday school class. They don't want to commit to be a song leader. They don't want to commit to teach a Sunday school class. And maybe it's not so in your church. Maybe it's not the church you pastor, the church you're a member of. But right across Christianity and the churches that I fellowship and know and preachers, I see a lot of the same problems. They talk about that. People are so wound up and are so tight that they will not give themselves. They don't want to be responsible. They do not want somebody to say, "I'm going to depend upon you. I'm dependent upon you to be here and do that." Again, well, for whatever reason, gosh, we need to be those. We need to be those. We need to be that individual that can encourage himself in the Lord and not move. Be steadfast and true. Look in Acts chapter 2, verse 22 through verse 36. Here we read that the Apostle Paul is preaching on the day of Pentecost. What's he preaching about? He's preaching about Jesus. There's no better name than Jesus. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be hold of it. For David speaking concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad, moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer the Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his scepter is with us to this day.
Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that is the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he raised up Christ to sit on his throne. He's seen this before of the resurrection of Christ, and his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. I want to direct your attention again back to verse 45, the last part of that, verse 25, and the last part of that verse. David speaking concerning the Lord, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. I titled the message, I shall not be moved. Again, the Apostle Peter here preaching on the day of Pentecost, preaching about Jesus. In verse 25 through verse 31, he's referring to Psalms chapter 16, where David prophesied of the coming of Jesus, his coming, his death, and his resurrection. And also David shows, Peter shows forth there and has great confidence in the truths and what that invokes within his heart. Knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is his Savior, that Jesus Christ, the coming Savior, the coming King, and he understood about his death. I believe David understood about the resurrection and knowing of one called Jesus, just as Peter did. As we take time to look here, David prophesied, Peter's preached. I too have confidence. I have confidence that I shall not be moved. I will not waver. I will not be toppled over. I will not be destroyed. I'm not going to be cast away or put away from the things of the Lord. I will not lay down on the truths of Almighty God. The foundational truths, the Bible says, the foundation be destroyed. What hope do we have? I want to say this, though. I know who I am. I know what I am. And again, I say I shall not be moved. But I'm not saying this is going to be in my power. It's not going to be by my steadfastness. But it's by God's power and God working in me. I couldn't stand if the Lord did not hold my hand. Quickly, I'm going to look at 10 foundational truths, and I'm going to go back and make some other references as well. Let's go through these quite quickly, and I'm going to just give you the reference on some of these passages of Scripture, very common passages, and I'm sure that you're going to understand, you know what we're talking about. But I'm going to look at 10 foundational truths really quick that you should never be moved away from. Number one in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world. Take out that word world and put your name there. You should not ever be moved from the fact that Jesus died for you, that Jesus died for me. Our salvation is a personal salvation. I tell you, we live in a time when people, there's the prosperity gospel. There's the gospel that Jesus, Jesus, everybody dies, goes to heaven. That doesn't cut it. That's not what God's Word says. Salvation's personal. If you've not been born again, you're not a child of God. If you didn't see Jesus dying for your sins in a personal way and realize that you was under the condemnation of your sins going to a place called hell, if you've not ever been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you're not saved. Never get away from the truth. Don't be moved away from the fact that Jesus died for you. A personal salvation. Romans 8, 38 and verse 39. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and verse 39. You should not ever be moved away from the fact that our Lord loves us. What is the way of the devil? What is the way of the world? What is the way of the generals in a war? It's always been this. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. The devil would have you to think at times that the Lord no longer loves you. Listen, the Bible says there's nothing to separate you from the love of your Lord. I'm persuaded that nothing should be able to separate you from the love of God. Oh, I tell you what, my love will get cold. My love will wax cold. I've been at times I've lost my first love, but there's not ever time that my Lord's love is lessened for me. Your Lord loves you with an everlasting love. And then we think about in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 through verse 23, Brother Coffey, when my grandfather passed away, there's a preacher come by, Brother Roy Humble come by and he preached. And I thought the message that he preached right after that was a message for me. He preached for Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, verse 23. But he preached that the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. And what he told me before that message and after that message and for the days there, he let me know that God's mercies, if tomorrow is another day. And the Lord help you get through whatever you're going through, whatever's going on in your life. Every day is a new day, and the Lord supplies and got the mercy to help you through that. We shall never be moved from the passion of the Lord. You're new every morning. Every day. Every day I wake up. You say, are you a morning person or are you an evening person, Brother Tim? And sometimes people ask you that. I'm a morning person. I get up early every morning. I get up around 5:15. My wife gets up and goes to work. I just wake up. And I'm just surrounded by my work, I like to say. But I always try to get up before she does because I know she don't get up and look and see me laying in bed. So I get up and roll out of there. I might be ready to go back to bed in 2 hours from then, but I tell you what, I like the mornings. I like to get up. I like to go sit down. I like to open my Bible. I like to open up the door, and I can look right straight outside the door and look out and see the morning, see the day. But every day, new mornings, new opportunities, new doors, and there's new mercies for the Lord. No matter whatever yesterday beheld, new mercies today. I write in my journal every day. Yesterday, my psalm for today was the psalm you read this morning, Brother. But that was the psalm for yesterday. But new mercies every day. And I write in my journal and I write things that I want to do. At the end of the day, I write some of the things that happened or things I didn't get accomplished or maybe some things didn't work out so well. But I get up in the morning and I start out and I write them out again. If I didn't get them accomplished or if things didn't work out so well, I understand this. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. And I start out a day again. And we need to understand and know. And I need the mercies of God. I know who I am and what I am. I need God's mercies. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, we should not ever be moved from the fact that the promise that He'll never put it more upon us than we can bear. Some people say, well, I just had to give in. I couldn't handle the pressure. I couldn't do this. It was just too much temptation. Well, all we're saying is that we're weak and we're sinful. We was able to bear. We was able to say no, not within ourselves, but the power of God in us. It was the Christ that He never put more than we can bear. A lot of people like a cop-out. A lot of people like to have a reason to act out. A lot of people like to have a reason to do foolish things. It wasn't a smart thing. Maybe I shouldn't say it. But there was a boy in our high school, and they wasn't a lot of pills when we was in school. I reckon people get into mom's nerve pills, about the worst thing I could ever remember children doing. That's bad enough. That's a bad way to start. But some of the boys are doing other things, drinking, and they're using marijuana. And ain't no good in that either. But this one boy, one of the girls there at high school, she shouldn't have had them. But she had some pills, the birth control pills. I'll just say what it was. She shouldn't have had them. She didn't need those. She shouldn't have been having committed fornication. That's what she was doing. But she had some birth control pills. She gave this boy a birth control pill. Now, I don't know. I've never took a birth control pill. I don't know what they would do for you. But she told him it was a hit of acid. Well, just all day long, that boy just walked around and just acted silly. I don't think it was because of the birth control pill. I don't know what a birth control pill would do for a man. I really don't know. But I think he was looking for an excuse to be ignorant. A lot of times we just look for an excuse. Well, I just can't help it. The Bible says the Lord not put more upon you than you can bear. You can withstand. You can do through the power of God. And then also we can think about, and time is certainly going to get away from me. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, you should not ever be moved from the truth of God's Word that you've been justified. Man, that's a wonderful truth. In the eyes of God, it's like I've never committed sin. Psalms 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far as you remove our transgressions from us. The power of forgiveness. Amen. Past, present, and future. Power of forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, it speaks about that we should not be moved from the fact, the truth of those passages of Scripture, that we have been redeemed from the bondage of sin. I have been set free. I'm no longer in the bondage of sin. I've been set free. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. You should not be moved from the truth that I am a child of God. You are a child of God. If you've been washed in the blood, you repent of your sins, put your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ. If you believe the message of the gospel, according to the Scriptures, you are a child of God. You have every right to call Him Abba, my Father. and He is your Father. In every sense of the word, Heavenly Father. A person asked me again, my grandfather, Brother Coffey, just right off the bat brought so many good memories back to my mind. I called my grandfather, I didn't call him Grandpa, I called him Papa. I was about 27, 28 years old. Wasn't a whole lot different than I am now. I just maybe looked a little rougher than I did now. I think his quiet kind of helps me a little bit. It kind of calms, gentles me down maybe. Maybe it don't. I don't know. But that big old burly young man walking around there, you know, and working. And I said something. I said, Papa. There's another fellow there, kind of a cynical kind of a guy anyway. And he said, when you going to grow up and be a man, quit calling him Papa. I just looked at him. I said, well, I reckon when he quits being my Papa. That never did make me ashamed to call him my Papa. He's my Papa. We should never be ashamed to call our the God, the majestic God of heaven, our Father. We don't do that in any kind of a flippant way. We don't do it in an irreverent way. He is our Heavenly Father. Real quickly, the privilege of prayer. We should not ever be moved from the fact that we have the privilege of prayer, maybe the most untapped power source in the world. The privilege of prayer. Peace and joy. Book of Philippians. It's ours for the asking. God's provided. We've got to take hold of that. We should not ever be removed from the fact that I have heaven as my final destination, as well as you that have been saved. John chapter 14. You'll have to be troubled. Whatever else goes on in our life, we know that heaven is our ultimate destination. For those that have went on to be in glory, those that are saved went on to glory, they're in heaven. We should be removed from those foundational truths. There's a whole many more others as well. Knowing these fundamental truths, we can expound and take time to name many more. We need to determine in our heart that we will not be moved. Like King David, the Apostle Peter, the saints of God of all ages, we need to cry aloud from the rooftops and every day of our life, we need to cry out, I shall not be moved. We make that determination in our heart that we're not going to be moved. This may go over the wayside, David may go over the wayside, but as far as we concerned, what we can control, and that's us, we're not going to be moved. By God's grace, God's strength, God's power, His love work within me. God's strength, God's power, God's grace work within you. You shall not be moved. With confidence and boldness and assurance, I proclaim to you today, I shall not be moved. This I can say, you that have been born again can say, I shall not be moved. And it's not because of who you are or who I am. It's because who He is. That's the key. What am I? Who am I? I try to think of myself as a realist. I don't have no false assumptions of who I am. I don't try to portray something that I'm not. I'm just who I am, a sinner saved with grace. I know who I am. I know what I am. I know what needs I have. I know what my besetting sins and my pet sins. I know what those little foxes I allow to come in and spoil the vines. I know the struggles I have. Who are you? We can identify in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I'm like Isaiah. I'm like Sarah in Genesis 16. In my impatience, I have at times wreaked havoc within my family. Haven't we all? I'm like King David in 2 Samuel chapter 11. I take myself out of the battle. I've paid my dues. I've done my time. I'm getting a little older. Don't get around like I should, like I would like to be able to think that I should. So if we take ourselves out of the battle. We take ourselves out of the battle that's constantly waging around us. When you get to that place in your life, you become so complacent that you say, well, you know, I deserve a break. You might deserve and you might need to restructure, but just to take yourself out of the battle always will lead to one thing. That's turmoil and more chaos. That's all it'll lead to. Engage, fight, and stand, and depend on God. Ain't no backing up in the service of the Lord. We preach preservation. We also preach perseverance.
Yes, sir.
Who was it? Was it Cortez when he came to the New World? His soldiers, they came in on the ships, they came up on the New World, going to conquer the land. Was it Cortez? Did he not, after all the soldiers, got all their stores off the ship? What was the command that he gave? If I remember my history right, he gave the order. They just sailed from Spain, come to the New World, South America, Central America. What was his order? Burn the ships. Now, why did he say burn the ships? Because they was going in to conquer the New World. And when they got their deed done that had been commissioned to do, I reckon he thought they could build new ships and be able to get back home. But what did he was saying? He was saying there's no turning back. As children of the Lord, there's no turning back for the child of God. We're not a people that are turned back. We can identify with Samson. Not even realize that times that God is no longer blessing us, that the power of God has come off of us. I'm not talking about losing salvation. I'm not talking about sonship. I'm talking about fellowship and the power of God in his life. We become so cold and indifferent and sensitive to the things of the Lord that we don't even realize that God's not there with us right then. He's not there with us in that sweet spirit. He's not blessing us. Oftentimes, like the prodigal son, we forsake our father's house of plenty for the pig pen of wanting the world. Man, that's a bad road to go down. I'm like Moses. I grant you this. My temper, my anger at times has cost me dearly. Somebody said, well, I'm just like a shotgun. I just, boom, and it's over. You know how much damage a shotgun can do? And that one boom? My temper, my anger has cost me, and it's cost me dearly over in my life. I'm like Jonah. In disobedience to the Lord, I run away from His will for my life. I'm like Peter, who rejects and even at times have denied the Lord as God's child. I'm like Esther, in fear of a man, I doubt my calling. I, like Lot, become intrigued and intertwined with the ways of the world. Like the Apostle Paul, 1 Timothy 1:15, I'm the chiefest of sinners. But a sinner that has been redeemed, born again, washed in the blood, I've been saved. And by God's grace, I shall not be moved. I'm not speaking about of a license to sin. I'll falter. I'll fall. I'll fail at times. But by God's grace, you that are saved and I that am saved, by God's grace, we get back up.
Amen.
It's by God's grace. John 1:16, grace for grace. There's never excuse to stay down and wallow in the pig pen of sin. Discouragement, depression, hurt, sorrow. There's never a reason to stay there. I'm not going to say there's not good reasons sometimes to be there. There's no ever reason to stay there. By God's grace, we get back up. And it's God's grace. God's ever abounding, abundant grace bestowed upon me and bestowed upon you. And when I think about those that have went on, that are behind me, when I think about those that are among me, when I think about those that God will raise up, He's going to go on before me, those who belong to the Lord, it can be said, we shall not be moved. Because He loves, He cares for His own. As part of that care, and make no mistake, I understand correction. And I understand chastening. because I've been on the end of that. And that's another message in itself. No way would I want you to leave here believing that I believe, that I think, and I have in my heart or my mind that it's okay to sin and do those things. And we mentioned some of the great saints of God. And I asked my pastor one time, I've always watched Westerns. I've always liked to read Westerns. I read every Louis L'Amour book. If teachers would leave me alone at school, I could read one a day. Sometimes almost two. You see, you're a fast reader. Yeah, fast reader. All the Louis L'Amour, Zane Grey, I'd love to read them. Basically, the same story. The guy gets the farm. He's got the beautiful horse. He gets the pretty girl. Bad guy gets done away with. Almost everyone to the T. They're all saying. I asked Brother Clarence one time, I said, how come that God put in his book that Moses messed up? Abraham messed up. Peter messed up. Esther messed up. I said, why'd God put that in there for? Brother Clarence explained to me. He said, to let us know that we too mess up. We're nothing but mortal men. But we've got a great God. And he explained to me about correction. He explained to me about chastisement. But that's just as a father and a mother does for the child. God has established His people. In Psalms 40, verse 2, He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. What about you? Can't answer for nobody but me. But what about you? What about you? Can you honestly say, with what I know of my heart today, can you honestly say, I know in whom I believe it? Can you honestly say that you're saved? That you repent of your sins, put your faith in the precious blood of Jesus as payment for your sin? He took your sin. Can you see Jesus dying for you? And if you accepted that, if you believe that, put your faith and trust in Christ. Repent of your sins, put your faith and trust in the shed blood of Jesus. By God's grace, can you say, I shall not be moved? What was that song we heard a while ago? I can say, I shall not be moved. In light of His glory and grace, amen. I shall not be moved. Brother Ross.